Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your co-host, Amy Anger, founder and CEO, coach of Glam Girl Bikini. And today I have with me...
Hey, everyone. This is Chris Nicole, IFBB Bikini Pro and Glam Girl Bikini Prep Coach.
And so if you listen to our last podcast, it was a solo episode as I had an interview with IFBB professional Lacey Green. Hopefully you noticed some differences in the audio. If you did, please leave us any kind of feedback. If you enjoyed the way that you could hear her, hopefully today you can hear Chris just as clearly. So shout out to audio engineers because we are on episode 14 and... You know, ever since the beginning, this has been a total struggle for me as far as just coming from my background. I know nothing about technology and putting together a podcast and getting it to sound correct and getting all this equipment, the microphone, all of that. It was probably took me about 4 weeks to figure it out. So I'm just throwing this out there. If you want to put a podcast out and you need help, it is not an easy process. So I am happy to help in any way I can. Not say that I'm an expert, but I know that I struggled and I kind of had to be self-taught with this whole process. So if you need some help, just let me know. We have just launched our Instagram, the Prep Life Podcast. So I'm probably going to mention it again at the end, but if you have any feedback on episodes, so whether it be audio or topics that you would like for us to cover, we would love, love, love to see what your comments are. So find us on Instagram, Prep Life Podcast is our handle, and we will be happy to help out in any way. Feel free to send a DM too if you need some help with your audio. Anyway, today's topic is actually, the best way to put it is, hashtag gains with a Z or, getting swole with the prep life. The technical nerdy, is, you know, I'm a bikini nerd. The nerdy term is hypertrophy. And so that's just a fancy word for getting swole. We are going to talk about today, gaining lean tissue. So, as a natural athlete and as a female, it is difficult. And the older you get, so this old girl, you know, it makes it harder to make those gains in the gym. And so today we wanted to talk about how to encourage that muscle growth without having to gain like 20 to 40 pounds in the improvement season. At Glam Girl Bikini, we feel strongly about the fact that you should feel comfortable in your skin year-round and that you should be able to live the prep life and still make those lean tissue gains while maintaining a lean physique that you are proud of. So I want to give a couple different examples of how to say shredsies year-round and still make those gains. So I'm going to talk about my competitor that has had an interesting journey this year. She started out in bikini, moved to figure and fitness, and her name's Karina. If you follow us on the Glam Girl page, I'm sure you've seen her journey.
She's amazing.
She's a beast.
We love Karina.
She's awesome. So I wanted to share her story because she is a seasoned athlete. You know, she has a background in gymnastics and she was a college cheerleader. So she's always been pretty lean. She's a personal trainer and she does group exercise. So she's not new to exercising by any stretch of the imagination. But at the beginning of the year, when she started her bikini journey, she did a bioelectrical impedance test. So, basically there's a couple of different ways that you can measure body fat. And I encourage competitors to try to get as many data points as possible when it comes to measuring your gains, because a lot of times the scale can tend to not be our friend. It can reflect differently than what your actual composition is showing. So Obviously, we have different ways of showing progress through pictures, through measurements. And she, in fact, you know, saw some huge measurement changes, especially in her waist, several inches over the course of the year. But her weight stayed the same. So she did three competitions, started in January, you know, ended her competition season just last month. And we looked at the data. She took her body fat using the same device, you know, all variables were the same. And basically it's the bioelectrical impedance. She used the same machine. And so it showed over the course of this past year that her weight, although that did not change, her composition changed. So by 2% on her body fat, she actually gained 3 pounds of muscle and lost 3 pounds of fat. And so what that's telling us is, you know, as a natural athlete, you probably, as an advanced lifter, the best you're going to do is about 1/4 of a pound of muscle per month. And I know that sounds like a very little amount, but I'm going to also use myself as an example in the fact that I also did a body fat composition test. I used skin folds, which is another method. People, you know, say that, you know, it can be pretty inaccurate, but I think as long as you're having the same person do it in the same manner, using the same equation, you can really compare apples to apples. Yes, it's not going to be as accurate as like a bod pod or a hydrostatic weighing where you get immersed in water, but is that practical? Probably not. So I used the skin fold test, and I stayed pretty close, you know, within striking distance. It's kind of like how I want to term this phrase. You know, if you're living the prep life, you're within striking distance of your contest weight. So, you know, probably like 10 pound to 20 pound difference, depending on what part of the year it was. After a year of training, I also, you know, looked at my lean composition and I had gained exactly 3 pounds of muscle as well. So, you know, again, it's about 1/4 of a pound of muscle. But that's with staying lean year round. So in the past, you know, when I was a novice 7 years ago, I probably had, you know, closer to 5 to 8 pounds of muscle gain within that first year because I was a newbie. I didn't strength train. I was a cardio bunny. And then as you continue to go through the seasons, you know, I personally, I had in the past gained a ton of body fat in the improvement season, you know, 40 to 30 pounds. And by the time I tried to work that off with, you know, low calorie, heavy cardio, I ended up losing a lot of my lean tissue gains that I had experienced. So, word to the wise, just my opinion on this matter is that you can stay lean year round. You know, take a look at your hormone function and make sure that that's all there. But yeah, I do believe that even though it's hard earned, that consistency, you can really live in a body that you like and still make those gains. So with that being said, I'm going to hand it over to my co-host, and I'm going to have you give us the nerd version of hypertrophy or gains, Chris.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel like I'm afraid to breathe because you guys can probably hear me better. Hopefully you can hear me better. But yeah, Amy, I totally agree. I feel like the longer that you have to lose that body fat, like the more weeks you have to put in into like dieting that down, you also lose that muscle tissue as well. So yeah, the big like jumps and bumps in your weight and body fat, I don't always think is necessarily the best thing. I mean, when we were talking about hypertrophy for this podcast, I did a lot of research because I wanted to make sure that I was going to explain everything correctly to our listeners. And this is the most like simplified way that I can pretty much explain hypertrophy, because a lot of people want to know, like, okay, when I get in the gym, like, what am I supposed to do as far as like reps, sets, and volume and all that type of thing? And hypertrophy is very different from training for like strength or endurance. Strength is pretty much pretty straightforward. If you want to increase your strength, you'll want to work up by pushing more weight. So it's like that's pretty simple. To be stronger, you got to move more weight. To increase your endurance, you want to run longer. You need to increase the time that you're running. It's pretty simple. But the equation for hypertrophy is like so crazy because there are a million different variables that affect that per person. So, Amy and I kind of just fall back on what the American College of Sports Medicine recommends for something. If you want something very specific, this is something you can kind of grab onto. They recommend for hypertrophy training, a novice athlete does 8 to 12 reps, 1 to 5. Oh my goodness.
1 to 3.
I can't. Thank you.
You're
It looks
welcome.
like a 5. 1 to 3 sets and 2 to 3 times a week. And then for someone who's advanced, which would be more of like a seasoned competitor, 8 to 12 reps, 3 to 6 sets, and 4 to 6 times a week. So that kind of gives you some basic guidelines that you can go through. But again, going back to like all the variables that are included when you are thinking about hypertrophy, I'm going to name a couple things that affect it negatively, and then we can go back and look at some things that you can incorporate to make sure that your workouts are working out efficiently. So a couple things that people maybe may not understand or may not consider that affects hypertrophy is one, digestion. So how your body is breaking down and absorbing nutrients, like, I mean, it all works together. So having some like core healthy habits, making sure your digestion's working properly, I mean, that affects your immune system. It affects tons of things. So digestion is, all in all, does affect your absorption of nutrients when you're training as well, which, we're trying to build muscle tissue, so there needs to be absorption into those muscles. Hormones. So I'm sure everyone can relate to this, especially my ladies. Your hormones do affect what is happening inside your body. And hormones are related to building muscle tissue as well. So I'm not going to go into the science of that and how that all works, but also know that as you age, your production of certain hormones does go down. So that will affect your rate at which you put on lean muscle tissue as well. And then one other big thing is your genetics. So a lot of people just have a certain advantage when it comes to putting on muscle tissue. And I know as a personal trainer, when I look at a client, and this is not based on any type of science that I've read about, but just from my experience, I can almost always categorize a client as a quad dominant person or hamstring dominant person just by the way that they move. One type of person will always activate through their toes and will like have these enormously developed quads, and sometimes they have a lot of knee pain. And then I have somebody else who drives through their heels in all types of their movements, and they have well-developed hamstrings. So there is like, I don't even know, like how you move throughout the day affects like what muscles are being built in your body. Again, like your hormone levels, just your genetic makeup, people being like an ectomorph, and even people who have like longer limbs. So if you have like a longer femur, when you are descending into a squat, it takes further for you to go down into that squat. So that affects the rate of which, or the way in which your muscles are built as well. So shorter people, shout out to all of you. You have a huge advantage because your movement from your press or from your pull is a lot shorter than somebody who has a longer range of motion or limb to go. So sometimes they're able to develop more, like a lot denser and more volumetric looking muscles. So this is where I'm saying is like, this is so unique to the individual. There's so many things to consider. you can fall back on what we recommended from the College Sport of Medicine, but realize there are so many things that attribute, and there's not one like key quick answer. But we do want to leave you with some type of tips that can help you when you are trying to make those gains in the gym. So, Amy, I know that you had shared a couple things with me that you wanted to share with our listeners.
Yeah, I think you bring up some great points. And I think that a lot of the things that we also need to consider is if we're looking at this, like we looked at, we talked about, you know, nutrition and how we kind of had like a pyramid and the building blocks there. Some of the things, and especially as an online coach, that, you know, I can put the programming out there, but how is that translating? So, you know, if we look at how hard that person is working, so what's their intensity? What does their form look like? Are they innervating the glutes? And that just means that their glutes are activating. You know, Chris had talked about people staying in the toes and activating the quads. You know, how can we sort of correct that so that we're isolating those muscle groups that are maybe lagging behind? And so I read through the recent meta-analysis by Nathan Jones. It's The New Approach to Training and Volume. It's by Stronger by Science. And some of the takeaways there were that, you know, take this in mind that this study was done on novice lifters. So they're, as we talked about before, they're going to see more gains right away, you know, because they don't have that background. So the more advanced you are, the slower the process is going to be. So keep that in mind that this was based on that. But some of the big takeaways that, you know, I got from this study was that the rep range really doesn't matter. You could do 30 reps to 100 reps or 3 to 100. And it really, when you're speaking about hypertrophy, it's actually the set that matter versus the volume or your repetitions. So your sets are where you want to really focus on, that will give you the most results for those gains of hypertrophy that you're wanting. So you want to keep effort really high. You can do that by, you know, wearing a watch and kind of looking at your heart rate. But you want to make sure that you are tapping into that intensity. So I get questions on, you know, a lot of times I have competitors asking me, like, what is the weight that I'm supposed to pick for this exercise? Or how long is this supposed to be taking me? And I get questions like that. And so what I tell them is that when you're, so most of my competitors are obviously advanced. So their sets and reps are going to be, you know, closer to the like 3 to 6 sets. And they're going to be lifting 4 to 6 days a week. So we're taking the advanced competitor and they are picking a weight that in the last 2 reps, they should be feeling like they are really pushing it, that they can barely lift that weight. And that's kind of how, that's a good gauge. And I know it's not very concrete and I'm not giving you something super tangible. It's something you're going to have to play around with. But when you're in the weight room, try to think about that and get that mind-muscle connection and just really try to focus on pushing the maximum that you can, so that you're really creating that time under tension, and that will set you up for the best exertion. That's the best way I can describe it. Some other things that I would mention is you don't want to overtrain. So you want to wake up the next day and feel sore. That's going to show that you've had some hypertrophy occur. But you know, most of my routines that I put together, or, you know, my lifting workouts that I program for my competitors, an upper body is going to take about 45 minutes and then legs should take about an hour. And I really don't want them going over that. Now, it may differ depending, but that's just kind of like a rule of thumb. There can be a point of diminishing returns where you can be overtraining. Did you want to talk a little bit about overtraining at all, Chris?
Yeah, that's such a good point, Amy. So training is the stress on your body. So any type of like overstimulation and too much stress, well, basically the overall effect is it brings your body, like your fatigue up, it runs your body down. It affects your immune system and your mood. But also it taps into like stores of energy that you have. So it can actually do the reverse of what you're looking for. So if you're in the gym, and a lot of examples that I was looking at is, you know, people that are in the gym, they're weight training, and then they're doing hours of cardio afterwards. Your body has to pull energy from something. And so you have to be like very strategic. And being in the gym too much is not necessarily going to give you hypertrophy, or weight training like over like tons and tons of volume is not necessarily going to give you what you're looking for. It's all about training smarter and not necessarily for the long duration of time like Amy's talking about, or training for like a different type of goal. So you just want to be smart about it. Yeah. Thanks, Amy. Thanks. And so three things that I find that are huge indicators of really making sure your muscles are working properly and making sure your workout is efficient is, one, your form. And Amy kind of touched on these a little bit, but making sure that you know what muscle you are working when you're doing that workout, and making sure that you're putting your body through the correct range of motion to get like the proper form to activate that muscle. So a lot of times people like jump on machines and they don't even know what they're working, and they're just going at it, and they could be working their upper traps instead of their triceps. Like you, it's good to know like what muscle it is that you're, or where it's located, where you should be feeling it, and then making sure your body's performing that exercise correctly. And a lot of people don't even realize too, but that, they concentrate a lot on the concentric movement or the contraction of the muscle, but concentrating on the like eccentric, or when, you know, like your arm goes down in that bicep curl, that's important as well. Like that range of motion is important, that elongating the muscle is important. So paying attention to that will also help with the goal of developing like a well-structured muscle.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but can you also mention about your venture that you're going to be posting on our YouTube channel?
Oh, yeah. So since like it's hard to demonstrate all this stuff on a podcast because you guys can't see exercising, you know, it's like super visual. So we're actually putting together a YouTube channel where I'll be posting some videos for you guys. So you can see like the correct form and activation of muscles, and it'll be kind of like a library for you. And there'll be some other like content on there that will be helpful as like a visual demonstration. So yeah, I look for the Prep Life on YouTube. That is coming soon. But yeah. And then the other two things too that I just wanted to mention briefly is muscle activation, which like I've had clients that will do glute exercises and never feel it in their glutes. And I'll literally have them like sit on like a flat bench, something that's like a hard surface, and have them squeeze their glutes and see if their body like raises up off the bench or not. Like there's so much to being able to make that neurological connection from your mind to your muscle when you're working out. So that's really important. And then also kind of going off of form is your mobility, like making sure that you're able to perform that full range of motion with stability in your joints, stability in your spine, and really like contract and squeeze that muscle. They're just really important. So I think the YouTube channel will be very beneficial that way. That way you guys can kind of see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And keep in mind that there's not, I mean, what we were talking about before, you, if your goal is strength, which it's not, if you're a bodybuilder, it doesn't matter how heavy the weight is, you know,
right.
these other factors are more important when it comes down to hypertrophy. Because like we said, you know, it's more about the sets than the volume. So the last thing I want to talk about before we wrap things up is, and I tend to forget this. I tend to forget because my fat kid struggles with nutrition. Like you can give me any workout, I am like, there, day or night, I could be on my deathbed, completely sick and I will drag my butt to the gym because I do not miss a workout. Like, it makes me feel good. It clears my mind. It's a non-negotiable.
This is true. And I've seen this.
I mean, put a jar of peanut butter in me in front of me and I'm like, I can't say no to it. I literally, or, you know, whatever it may be with nutrition, I have such a hard time adhering. So I tend to like focus on putting my rules in place so that psychologically I can kind of help out my willpower. So like for me, I don't keep peanut butter in the house. I make it more difficult to get to that jar of peanut butter. I would have to actually go to the store, buy it. And by the time I do that, like, you know, I've set these habits. So it's difficult. But if it's in front of me, I'll probably lick it because it smells so dang good. but anyway, so like for me, I have to set rules. As far as like I've talked about before, I start my intermittent fasting window at 4 because like I struggle with saying no to food in the
4
evening.
PM.
So yeah, 4 p.m. And so I know that it makes it easier for my brain to just download that after 4, I'm done eating. So let's think about this in terms of if you are the opposite of me. So your biggest struggle is not nutrition. Hats off to you ladies who can do this, but I have competitors that are just like, they have to like force themselves to eat. I don't even know what that even means. Like, but there's so many people that the nutrition is not hard. Like they think of that as a chore. And, like the gym is the difficult part, like getting to the gym, getting their workout in, like they can get the food in no problem. And so sometimes I have to remind myself that other people struggle in another way. And, as I was, you know, I do a lot of kind of self-education because I'm a nerd. So I've been listening to The Sweet Spot, and I can put this book in the show notes. But it's just a really good a book that kind of talks about behavior modification and trying to hit your goals by hitting that sweet spot. And then I've just kind of revisited The Happiness Advantage. I know I've talked about that book before. By Sean Acor. Again, I can put it in the show notes if you want to take a look at that. But he talks about, so his, one of his struggles is getting up in the morning to work out. And so his habit that he had to create was making it easier on himself to wake up and get to the gym. So once he was there, he was fine. But it was like getting out of bed. And so our willpower, you know, think of it like a muscle. So, you know, it continues to, just like how we were talking about with the rep ranges, like you're starting to fail out at the end of it. If you have to make so many decisions, your brain gets tired. So the way to get around this is to make it so that decisions are easier to form that habit. So you want to, ahead of time, when your brain is fresh, you want to think about the when, the where, and the how. So when he was thinking about this, he would come up with a million reasons to stay in bed. And so what he did to get around that was he started, actually, you don't have to go to this extreme, but he would wear his workout clothes to bed. He jokes and says,
I have done that.
He's like, maybe that's why I have yet to be married, but he's like, my mom's giving me a hard time. But anyway, so you can set the workout clothes out. You don't have to wear them to bed. But yeah, like setting the shoes out. And then he was saying he had all these decisions like, do I work out outside? Like, what am I going to wear to run? Or, you know, am I going to go to the gym and I'm going to like strength train, or what muscle group am I going to hit? And planning that out ahead of time actually helps you kind of, it helps with your willpower. So then you have all of the strength to say, okay, I'm going to pull my body out of this bed and get to the gym, because I don't have to think about like if I'm going running, like, or if I'm strength training, what body part am I hitting, or what outfit am I wearing, or where am I going? And so if you can think about those things ahead of time, I mean, this can translate to any kind of habit. Like if you're thinking about junk food, like I was saying before, you know, you don't want to put the cookies in a jar visible in your house, like cut up some vegetables ahead of time. So then when your brain is tired, you know, you just have to make the decision like, oh, okay, well, all my food is prepped. It's in the refrigerator. So I just have to decide to eat it rather than like, am I going to have like a scoop of peanut butter or am I going to eat this cookie? You get what I'm saying. So think about that when you're thinking about the psychological. I know I sometimes get into like the mental piece with all of this, but I do think it's important to make it easier on ourselves to make the right decisions. So just something to keep in mind if you're, you know, struggling to get to the gym, the more organized that you can have, like a plan of attack, the less, you know, the more brain power you're going to have left to like get yourself there. So that's my advice. Anything to add, Chris, before we sign off?
I think that's great. I think that's why the like structure of the meal plan and the workouts work so well. I know that's why they work well for me. Like I can't, sometimes I can only macro count so many days and then I'm just like so tired of doing it that having the meal plan to fall back on just is like simplifies life. So it makes sense.
Good. Well, I have my MPC Indiana meeting this weekend. So I'm excited to get back to my home state and see all of my MPC peeps. And I hope to bring back, you know, some nuggets possibly. So anyway, this is the Prep Life podcast brought to you by Glam Girl Bikini. And this is your founder and CEO, Amy Enger, and signing off with my co-host.
This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.